What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Drip, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents White Caps, Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Well, it's a celebratory three questions for all you Whitecaps fans today, because this weekend is the 50-year anniversary. 50 years this club has been kicking footballs around under a couple of different names. Ace Raymond's here. Craig Forrest is here. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
I'm James Sharman. We've got a guest today. We're very excited about this. To celebrate the Whitecaps' 50th, we thought we'd bring on one of the all-time legends, a man that played 31 times for his country. He played at the 86 World Cup. He arrived in Vancouver as a 20-year-old. He won a soccer bowl in 1979, which Craig mentions all the time, by the way. The soccer bowl of 1979 is Carl Valentine. Carl, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This year just keeps getting better and better, and I've finally made it on with you guys. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to ever top this off. Maybe big win on Saturday, the 50th anniversary. But no, pleased to be on. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank
that
you.
That soccer bowl was...
Here we go.
Are you know, well, just
sit back.
I know what it's like when, you know, you're that young and you remember, you know, following the Whitecaps and how big they were in Vancouver and Empire Stadium and the atmosphere. It was amazing. And it just inspired so many young players to get involved in the game, and it was just massive. I remember the parade after. I think there's 100,000 at the parade after. It was just really game changer for me as far as wanting to play the game, and then eventually playing with Carl with the Canadian national team years later was really special.
Carl, you just arrived, right? I think
I was from
England.
20-year-old. I was just, you know, I mean, Willie Johnson, Trevor Wyman, Hector, Kenyon, all these players that I kind of followed. I was just coming as a young kid, learn my trade and under these guys. And then Bob McNabb, I think, got injured 10 minutes in and I was thrown in, and the rest was, was history. But yeah, I mean, that, first year, I always make a joke, you know, that was my first year and we won it, but it was nothing to do with me.
I was looking at the 11 and the squad. There were, I think, maybe two Canadians on the Whitecaps, mainly Brits, mainly English, actually. Why was Vancouver such a destination back at that time for Brits?
Tony Waiters, I guess. Alan Hinton was there before. I think he had 30 assists the year before I come. You know, that was obviously Tony Waiters' background, and he'd done his research. I mean, I think they'd... Craven, I think, when he was at Plymouth, had seen me play at Oldham, and you know, they'd done the research and they thought that was the way to go, the English mafia. And but it's interesting, you talk about, you know, the Canadians, the Bobby Leonarduzzi's, Belitho, Buzz Parsons and stuff. They probably don't get enough credit for, because, you know, at the end of the day you had to play two Canadians, but they weren't really a detriment to our team. You know, we had a team that was not the best team in the league by far, but we were the most feared team in the league.
yeah, had that edge, right? A bit of grit. I mean, well before my time, not to age you and Craig, but I'm aging you and Craig. It's rare that I get to age people these days. So I'll do that. So you were 20 when you arrived. Do you think you'd stick around for another, what, how long?
No.
50 years? No.
That's how Tony Wade has got me out here. You know, I was told by Jimmy Frizzle from Oldham. He said, we sold you to the Vancouver Whitecaps. You've got to meet Tony Waders and get a deal for yourself. I didn't ever have a choice in the matter. Them days, you didn't. There was no agents or anything. So I probably had to go home and buy a map or something. I knew where Canada was. I didn't know where Vancouver was. No Google, internet, no nothing. And I do remember Tony Waders saying the North American Soccer League is growing. You're a long lad. You've got potential. Come over here for 2 years and you can go back. And I was playing in the old second division, which is a championship now. And you can come back and play in the first division because he knew, you know, obviously knew I wanted to do that. So he sold me. They obviously kept it quiet that teams like Wolves had come in and bid more for me. But I didn't find that out until years later. But, you know, I only tell that story not a regret because I'm happy where I am now. But, it was an interesting move.
Well, I mean, Wolverhampton or Vancouver. I mean, I know where I'd pick.
Yeah. Well, sorry. I do now. I don't know, I'm 20-year-old.
Yeah, maybe not.
People ask me, you know, why I made that move. And obviously Tony sold it to me. You can't go back and think what it was like as a 20-year-old. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know where Vancouver was. I didn't know anyone in Vancouver. I had no friends there. Best move he ever made, for sure.
How was the football back then? The quality?
It was obviously good.
It was good, yeah?
Yeah. You know, Johan Cruyff was still in his prime. Mm-hmm. You know, we beat the Aztec there. Beckenbauer could still play. Carlos Alberto. Niskins, you know, he played left back when we played the Giants there. Carlos Alberto, you know, there was, you know, obviously, you know, back then when you're looking at players that were kind of in the 30s or early 30s, they were kind of looked at, washed up, probably because they could eat and drink whatever they wanted and smoke and all that stuff, but they could still play. So Rodney Marsh is like, you know, there was so many good players that still had a lot of pride, and it was a great league to play in, because you just come up against different nationalities, different ways to play, which you obviously wouldn't find in any other leagues.
One of the things that was happening at that time as well, guys, was that the detriment of the North American Soccer League, was they were paying a lot of money. So guys like Trevor Weimark, who came from Ipswich Town, he didn't intend to go over to Vancouver, and he went down to London, Heathrow Airport, had a meeting, and was like, oh, like, that's really good money. Can't remember what it was at the time, but, you know, they were well-paying players back then. So the law to come to pull to come to North American Soccer League was great for many reasons. It was a buzzing league, but they just weren't run properly, and they that's why it collapsed in the end, probably because they were paying too much money.
How much money were you making, Carly, that big check to come over?
Well, I think I just got over £100 a week when I was playing for Oldham at the time, just made it into the first team, a couple of games, and I remember Tony, well, I can't remember the exact figure, but it was like quadruple what I was making. So that's probably, if you're honest, it was probably another reason for leaving. He's like, well, I can go there for two years, make a lot more money, and then come back and play in the first division. But you're spot on there, Craig. I mean, you know, players are making a lot of money there. I mean, there was a lot of NFL owners in there. It was the sport of the 80s at the time. So people were just throwing money around thinking it was going to grow and it was going to get that major TV deal, which obviously didn't happen.
But Vancouver as a football place, you know, how it's grown. You look back then when you first arrived, and obviously NASL, you know, it said a lot of words, good words, strong words about where it could go. It didn't work out for whatever reason. MLS is then born. Vancouver arrives, of course, in MLS after a long time playing outside of it. How would you compare the soccer culture in Vancouver now to back in those days?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, before going to BC Place, because obviously that 83-84, we only had a couple of seasons, you know, there were decent crowds, but we were averaging around 24,000 at Empire. What was interesting when the Whitecaps went from the A-League to the MLS, you know, you have to remember that first game against Toronto. 21,000 people in the stands. And it was like, where did all these people come from? We couldn't sell out Swangard Stadium for the Whitecaps. And yet the first game, 21,000, they knew songs, they were chanting, and it was like we'd been there for a long time. So it was like, okay, Vancouver's missed, whatever you want to call it, the big time playing in the big leagues, and they were here to support you. So back then with the Whitecaps, we didn't really have supporter groups like they have now, but we average a lot, and you know, we're probably one of the biggest tickets in town. And then I think when the MLS started, especially at the beginning, it was the same. You know, obviously the culture's come a long way with the supporters group and the songs now that they sing, but it was good back in the NSL days as well.
Did your paths cross ever with Brian Budd?
No. Okay. I mean I did meet him, but not I did, obviously everyone's heard lots of stories about Brian Budd, probably a lot that you can't repeat on this show, but no, I just met him in passing a couple of times, but he seemed like a player that got everything out of his career, was limited in a lot of ways, but was productive, and was probably, I've heard, one of the most funniest people like that people have met.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, I'm looking here, actually. He left the Whitecaps in 78, and his last Canada game was 77. So, yeah, you just missed out on the Budgie experience. Oh, well, your loss. Yeah. Something.
Well, we're saying with Pele. Pele retired when he knew I was coming over.
That's why, right? Yeah, I can imagine that's the reason.
Yeah. Probably regrets it now. He probably wanted to play, but, you know.
Probably. So what's your involvement this weekend with the 50-year anniversary?
Oh, it's exciting. You know, as an alumni, we've tried to get our alumni up and running. Not been successful for a lot of reasons, and most of it resources. But this year, we have really made a great effort. We have team captains now for different eras. So this year we've got the 50th anniversary. Then in June we've got the decades, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s. So I'm so happy and so proud that the club is recognizing. We've also did the women before. We had the women's only, and then we had the 10 greatest players for the Whitecaps of the women's era. And it was so professionally done. You know, I was happy for them because they don't always get recognized. And we're going to have over, I think we're right now 110 alumni that are coming to the game on Saturday. Going to be in Victoria tomorrow. I was doing media drops this morning, so I missed it. A lot of the executives and Bobby Lenny Doos were at City Hall proclamation, so we're on it there. Tomorrow I'm going to Victoria to Parliament. Apparently we get introduced there, then I've got to sit for an hour to listen how they're running the country, keep their mouth shut. And then we're going to luncheon and we're going to be acknowledged again. So you know, I'm so happy the way it's being recognised and honoured because, you know, all the alumni, we've not been able to do our due diligence with them because, you know, and you know that, Craig, without them, the club's not around. You know, all the alumni, all the staff, all the people that have been part of the Whitecaps through the good and the bad times are the reason why you're still around. And I think, you know, you look at the Whitecaps San Jose, it's two of the longest running soccer franchises, like, you know, in North America. So I'm just so happy and excited what's happening this year and especially this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's been a missing piece, I think, for a lot of clubs in Canada and in North America for that reason, and even associations. I think it's important, and it's great when players, I remember at Ipswich seeing the old players that won the FA Cup and the UEFA Cup, and they were still part of the club, and seeing them around the executive boxes talking to sponsors and things like this. It was really, really important, and it's also great to have them around and talk to them about the past times and really builds a culture within a club. So I'm glad that Vancouver are doing that so well.
Mm-hmm. You do, and you hear stories, right, which, you know, being a club alumni now, because when I was 20, I'm over here, I'm just playing. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes and the work that's done. But now, coming back as a club alumni in 2011 for the first season, I was able to say thank you to a lot of people that supported me, because I came over as 20, as I said, no friends, didn't know anyone. And I don't ever remember feeling homesick. They all made me feel welcome, the crowd. You know, two of the trophies two of the only trophies I display, I got most popular player twice, and that meant so much to me because it was from the fans. And I think, you know, when I bump into fans, I bump into kids, and, oh, can I have your autograph? And I'm like, how do you know who I am, right? You know, you didn't see me play unless you had a VHS and black and white or whatever. But, you know, I heard, you know, adults like, oh, you know, almost have tears in their eyes when they meet you. And they're like, yeah, you know, my dad used to take me to the game when I was a kid. And now my dad's old, I get him to take me to a game. And that's what it's all about, right? You know, that history and stuff like that, that you nurture. And it's not just the players, it's the fans as well, right?
Yeah.
I remember, if my memory serves me right, that you're an athlete of the year in Vancouver, and I think Stan Smeal was like number two.
Yeah, I think it was the Vancouver Sun. I think it was on like 40 readers at the time. So
I'll take it.
No. I mean, I don't know. You know, that did come out, and you know, you can't help but be proud of that. That people, you know, think that of you, because I'm a Manchester lad. I mean, I was, you know, when I was introduced into the BC Hall of Fame, you know, I'm like, that was part of my speech. Is like, you know, how can a young Manchester lad that grew up there wanting to be a professional soccer player end up, you know, being in, you know, BC Hall of Fame, right? You know, it's just magical that this country and the people that accept you and, you know, have given me, you know, such a great life and so much love.
Carl, you mentioned that, the alumni hasn't gone together as much as you all would like. Do you think that after this year, with all the celebrations, there might be some carryover and you might have more celebrations and just get together, tell these stories a little bit more going forward?
100%. I think what we've done, and I said when we was doing this, and before it was like maybe myself and Bobby, a couple of office staff. Now we've got all different departments. And I said to our committee that one of the challenges we would have is getting the alumni to believe that this time we're going to follow through, where before, yeah, we're going to do this, don't hear from us a year, blah, blah, blah. So we did that. We got era captains, Paul Dolan, like, just is one of the era captains, and Alan Errington, and their enthusiasm, we've had to hold them back because they're chomping at the bit just to get older people to get this going. And obviously the goal is to have the alumni, like you see with the Canucks and Lions, have that alumni running themselves and stuff. You know, we've talked about some great ideas that we like to put forward, but we don't have the resources at the club right now. That's something the alumni has to take over. So right now we're pushing towards that. And we've got some really prominent people, you know, in the community, you know, that have really done well for themselves and, you know, can really help us grow that alumni, because they see the importance of it. The owners see the importance of it. So, you know, we're off to a great start, and I think it's just going to get stronger and stronger.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important, right, to build that culture in this country, you know?
Yeah, because I don't know, you know, we talked about, you know, because we're looking to what other clubs are doing. And, you know, we obviously look at all the sports and, you know, how well, you know, they do that with the alumni. MLS is not that old, right? So, you know, there's probably not a lot of alumni there. But, you know, the other hope is that we can lead the way in that. Mm-hmm. So we get an active alumni that can help us grow the club and the sport. With the MLS and the travel and everything, it's so hard to get the players out in the community and tell the story, you know. Right. You'd love to have Ryan Gold going to schools and doing all kinds of things to, you know, really showcase the Whitecaps, but it's not also doable. But if you can have alumni as well, that's all already prominent in their communities, and we can bring the Whitecaps in there, you know, it's a win-win situation, because the alumni is so important, because again, we all know without them, then there's no club, right?
I think the Vancouver Canucks do a very good job with their alumni.
They do, yeah.
They're involved with charities and different events, raising money. So you're also doing things for good causes as well as growing the club and the brand.
Yeah, and they'll go into remote communities and play hockey. So they'll have the alumni go up there and play hockey for charities and stuff like that. Now, I'm not making a comeback unless it's walking soccer. I think walking soccer, I'd be pretty good at that.
Yeah, you know, because, pretty good.
You know, good players, they make the ball do the work, right? You don't need to run. Look at Messi.
No, it's true. We watch United this year. We know.
Oh. Yeah, but hold on. Carl, you were always about getting down the line with your pace. So you were nothing about walking.
Oh, I know. I was just talking to someone there. They were trying to compliment me, and I was telling them about like when I first come over. Like I had no skill, man. And I remember somebody pulling me up in the street and said, "Oh, you're Carl Valentine, aren't you?" I says, "Yeah." He said, "You've only got two moves, haven't you?" And I was like, "What's the second one?" I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I wish I would have.
Oh, yeah, afterwards, right?
But it was true because I was a player that I didn't have the skills and tricks and stuff, but I knew how to use my speed. I was direct. And obviously fans are going to love that because, you know, you look at wingers now, and I'm not here to judge wingers and stuff, but my job was to get down the line and get crosses in, and I loved doing it. You know, the crowd loved that as well, right? Because he was a direct play, he was fearless and stuff like that. But yeah, no skill, so walking soccer might suit me.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on Fubo TV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Let me ask you this. If a young Carl Valentine, 20 years of age, coming from England, was told that one day Vancouver would be hosting Wrexham and it would get global attention, what would a young Carl Valentine say to that?
Wrexham?
Yeah. They announced it this week. It's everywhere. Oh, Wrexham going for this Wrex Coast tour.
Wrexham is they were a good team, I think, when I was a young player. But you know what was interesting? Because I was with my missus on the Thursday morning. It was announced. And I knew the Wednesday before, but we weren't supposed to tell everyone to the announcement. I forgot to tell my missus anyway. She comes up and says, "Oh, do you know Ryan Reynolds and Wrexham are coming in?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are we going to the game?" And I'm like, "Well, you can go, but I've got to buy tickets." And she said, "Well, I've called my daughter and we want to go to the game." I said, "Like, okay. So get on my account and look for tickets." Anyway, the price of the tickets were quadrupled or whatever. But she wanted to go. So it cost me like $350 or whatever. So she's like, "Oh, you know where our season tickets are? I got season tickets near the front." And I'm thinking, well, I could have done that for the Whitecaps game, but you never asked me. But Wrexham are coming in. You don't even know who Wrexham are. Yeah. And you're so excited to be sitting near the front. Ryan Reynolds, you're not going to see him.
No.
Blake, exactly. She'd rather see Blake Lively, like, you know.
You'll be behind them.
You're not going to see him. But she was just so excited about the event. More excited than coming to the Whitecaps game, I must admit. And she comes to every game. But she was – it was the event. I've got to be there. And it cost me $350 as well, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
I think it's appalling that an alumni, a legend of the club, can't get tickets for that match. Well, take care of your alumni.
we got us because I buy season tickets. We've got a season ticket discount, so that, I was thankful for that. But the power of Ryan Reynolds, Wrexham. I mean, it's incredible. I think we're over 20,000 already, and you can't explain it, can you? Other than an event.
There's no other owner of football.
That should have been the question, Charms. Would you pay? Can you believe that all these years later in Vancouver, you're paying $350 for a Wrexham game
for the owner? The owner.
Yeah, for your missus.
Not even the footballer.
I don't know if I pay that for United. Come here, man.
No,
not the way they play. It's amazing. But it is amazing. I mean, people are just like going gaga that Ryan Reynolds is bringing his team here. And I have to say, I've not seen the Wrexham documentary. It's on my to-do list. I really, really want to see him, but done an amazing job, and they got back-to-back promotions, so just keeps getting better and better for him.
I was going to say, I think it says a lot about the storytelling and the job that they've done with the documentary. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds, massive name, a big celebrity, yeah, globally, but especially here in Vancouver. But the show, I think, does a lot as well, because had a similar situation here with the missus and the family, like never caring to see games or go to games otherwise. But yeah, Wrexham's coming, and they know the characters, right? They know the players who are characters to them, essentially, like stars of the show that they watch, and Paul Mullen, and there's something there, I think, and that's what has really captivated the audience and has people genuinely interested in watching this team, watching this club, and yeah, and hoping to see Ryan Reynolds, obviously, but yeah, great job of basically storytelling and getting people's attention and wanting people to follow this club that was right at the bottom of the pyramid, if you will, when they started.
Well, it just goes to show you on a smaller level, you know, when the Whitecaps have opportunities to get players out there to tell their stories and their backgrounds, people want to hear it. This is Wrexham Football Club, and people are watching because they love the stories. And, you know, I think that the teams can do a better job at that as far as
I agree, especially when you hear from soccer snobs here in North America saying that MLS isn't the highest level. Well, they're tuning in, paying, and looking forward to watching Wrexham, who's nowhere near the highest level, right?
Yeah, right. You're right. No, my missus, I don't think in 20 years of marriage has she ever watched a match with me, ever. But she can't wait for the new same season here to start. Yeah, and really? She knows who Paul Mullen – she doesn't know who freaking – you know, well, she knows Ronaldo and Messi maybe. She doesn't know who Erling Haaland is, but she knows Paul Mullen.
Paul Mullen. Yeah.
No, what the hell is wrong with this world?
Erling who? Yeah.
It's all upside down.
It's upside down. Yeah, it is. Listen, Carl, thank you so much for this, mate. I really enjoyed this. We'll get you back on. I can't believe it's been this long since we got you on the
show. It's been this long. Yeah, it's been long, man. That's what I said. I made it now, man.
No, we need a United correspondent. So we'll get you on the main show pretty soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, get me back on when United have turned it around, but I don't want to wait that long.
Well, definitely. No, thanks so much.
Alumni on here for the Canada guys, too. We've got some good stories. Yeah,
Just don't get Bruce Grobler on here, man. They never get word in.
Hey, I've interviewed Bruce a number of times, and he talks. He's a talker, that's for sure. But he's got some stories.
Yeah.
got him in trouble.
You were?
Yeah, no doubt.
Allegedly.
Was he sober?
He's back in England now, isn't he? I think he was in Newfoundland for a long time, right?
He was.
Yeah. He went back to England and married a girl from Norway.
That's right.
And
he's
still doing his Liverpool stuff and stuff like that. But he's been out here a few times. Liverpool Group has brought him out. And he's really, I mean, you heard him speak. He's really good. But I've not heard him do a speech sober. So, but, I mean, he can story tell. I mean, he's hammered. And you think, well, how's he going to end up doing that, right? And he does. He does a wonderful article. And it was, like, funny because a lot of people don't know. He was when Tony Waiters convinced me to come out. He called me back 6 weeks later and he goes, hey, it wasn't 6 weeks, it was a couple of weeks later. He said, I've got your roommate, which I never asked for a roommate. I'm like, okay. He says, yeah, he's a South African. I'm like, okay, he's a white South African. I'm like, I'm 20, I'm living in Manchester, right? I'm all this. So anyway, I come over and I'm roommating with Bruce.
Wow.
And the media get hold of it, right? So obviously I find out a little bit about his story. And it was just interesting because Dan Stinson, it was like a lot of the media there. So I'm doing this interview and they're saying, so how are you and Bruce getting along? And I'm like, fine. And then you could see, you could see like it was uncomfortable and they was trying to prod me for answers. And then one of the reporters goes, so do you sleep with a knife under your pillow? And I'm like, no. So I guess what he was saying, because Bruce had just come up, he'd been in the army for two years.
In Rhodesia, right? Back then.
Yeah, so he was a tracker. So he'd been in the army, if you want to be blunt, he'd been in the army for 2 years killing blacks. So the media's got caught onto this. And they want to make a story out of it. Not a bad one, but they want to make a story out. Anyway, they called us the Odd Couple. I know, really. You wouldn't get away with that now.
No, I don't think so.
You know, living with Bruce was like, because he was only 6 months out of the army. So I remember one of the first nights waking up in the middle of the night and he's in the living room watching TV, eating beans out of the can. cold beans, because, you know, I guess he'd been living for 2 years.
Yeah.
Every day was his last day, right? And now it's hard to shake that off, right?
Yeah. I thought it'd be
and you know, our goalkeepers are crazy anyway to begin with, right?
So they're not right in the head. That's
then you've
for
got
sure.
that on top of you, right?
Hey, were you at Vancouver when Peter Beardsley was there as well?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You should be a Liverpool fan. Beardsley and Grobbelaar, huh? No.
Oh, no. You know the shortened story again. When I think it was when the year Bruce went, Ron Perry, you remember Ron, Craig?
Yeah. Yeah, he worked for me a bit.
Yeah, he was a friend, agent kind of thing, and he worked for Bruce as well. Anyway, I was going back to England and he was going back to Rhodesia. And we're at Ron's house, and he says, one of you's not coming back. They're going to sell one of you. So I go back to England. He goes to Rhodesia to play the first leg of a World Cup qualifying game. I'm in England. I'm at my ex-wife's place, girlfriend at the time, and I get a call, and it's Gordon Lee from Everton. And he said, look, you know, the old trainer from Oldham, he's our trainer now, and he's told me you're quite loud. He said, we've been trying to do everything to sign you. He said, but, you know, back in them days, that's how it worked. He said, you've got to push it through. He said, because it's not, you know, we can't get the deal done. We've offered, you know, whatever. I think it was like the same, £250,000. I think they bought me for £100,000. Going to get £250,000. Anyway, Bruce flies back to London, calls me, said, I'm going to Vancouver for something. Goes to Vancouver for some reason, meets Ron, flies back, tells me, I think I've got a done deal with the Whitecaps, and then went back to Rhodesia to play for the second leg. That's why he couldn't play for England, because he played those two qualifying games for Rhodesia and they got knocked out. So I never told him about Everton. I'm thinking, yes, I'm in. Fucking, he plays the second game qualifying. Tony Waits calls him, flies back to London, meets Peter Robinson and all that. And they sold him to Liverpool for the same amount, £250,000. So instead of me going to Everton for the same price, he went to Liverpool. Oh. And again, I don't tell it because he regrets.
No, of course not.
Doesn't mean it worked out, but it was just like, it just shows you how different paths you can take, right?
Yeah, no kidding. You don't want to go to Everton anyway. Hey, come on.
Hey?
You don't want to go to Everton anyway. Come on.
They were a good team, then.
Didn't need that. Yeah, yeah. What a team that was.
Well, put it this way. You can never regress, because you know you can never regret, because you have to look where you are now. Look, I'm here talking to you guys. It doesn't get better than this.
Doesn't get better, right?
If you would have went there to Everton, this may never have happened.
It wouldn't have happened, yeah. Exactly, right? So you're welcome.
No regrets.
Yeah. Carl, thank you. This is great.
Oh, pleasure, you guys.
Have a great time this weekend. Should be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to. Thanks a lot. And the team looks good, eh?
Oh boy. Yeah. They look good, all right. They're a legitimate contender, aren't they?
You know, I said it at the beginning, not to people in the office, you know, that asked and stuff like that. I mean, I thought there was a top four team last year. You know, we weren't good at the corner kicks. We give some bad goals away. You know, we played better than teams sometimes, but found a way to lose a draw. Mm. But I definitely thought we were that close to a top four team last year. Got some good upgrades and MLS players. Fafa's been looks just great addition and stuff like that. And I said at the beginning of the year, if we don't finish in the top four, then for me personally, it's a major disappointment, because the team works so hard every game and they have the quality to unlock teams, because obviously we're not great at breaking down teams. We're great at creating turnovers and working hard and scoring goals that way. But we scored some great goals this year, and you know, that they should be a top four team. And then if you're a top four team and you get in the playoffs, it's like, it's the first time probably in our history. Nobody's really talking about it and stuff like that. But, you know, they have a legitimate chance, right? If they can, you know, avoid injuries, keep doing what they're doing, the squad that they have, the attitude that they have, the way they work for each other, you know, and it just seems to be falling into place, like, because you look at, you know, the 50th anniversary, you look at the Messi thing, you look at our crowd, going to get another 30,000 plus this year. You know, you just sometimes, this is my mind thinking, everything seems to fall into place. And I always, you know, quote me on this, they said, so my when I look at the Whitecaps, when we won in 79, Alan Ball and Willie Johnson, two of the smallest players on our team, but two of the biggest characters that carried us through to that championship. And I, when I reminisce and dream, I look at Ryan Gold and Kubus.
Kubus, yeah.
Two of the smallest players, but oh my God, these two guys, their hearts so massive. Ryan Gold, you know, probably most skill on the team, but nobody works harder than him than maybe Kubus, who's not as tall as me, but oh my God, like he, when he tackles, I love it when he tackles because he always puts his body in. You know, the, one of them players where you're going to feel me in this tackle. I mean, if I win the ball or I don't, you're going to feel me. And you just love them two players. So
yeah,
maybe that's what dreams are made of, right?
Yeah.
And I made it on here, so.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so what's your plans this weekend? Are you obviously working the game?
Presumably. Yeah, calling that game. Looking forward to it. It should be a fun one. All the festivities as well. We're going to have Bobby join the pregame show as well on the radio. Should be a great match. And yeah, there's so much fun to watch right now. You mentioned it, Carl. Great calling these games. Those two players in particular, I feel like they sort of engines of the team. They just drive them forward. And then, but they've got maturity everywhere now. I feel like Ranko Veselinovic is more mature. Johe's more comfortable in the back as well as the goalkeeper for this group. And then some of the young players have got some games under their belts as well. Pedro Vite's come on. I think he's coming off his best game last week. So Vite's come along. Ali Ahmed, Brian White, you know, you talked about it. Special season so far. So fitting that obviously Brian White breaks the record last week. It's exciting to cover this team right now.
Hey, you know, so I have to ask you a question for you. Where did you learn to understand Scottish?
With Colin Miller. Time. Everyone's getting minutes, right?
You've got no accent or anything, like, because if you can understand Colin Miller, man, oh, God, like, you've earned your money.
That's Colin's secret.
Sometimes I don't, and I just keep going.
Yeah. with his million sayings.
Yeah. This positivity. I actually had a question, which I'm not going to ask. But the question was, give me one negative, because the last, like, you know, we've been doing this podcast now for, what, 10 weeks or so? There's three questions, and it's also positive around Vancouver. But because it's the 50th anniversary, it's a birthday, I'm not going to ask you for one negative, okay, Asa? But next week, prepare yourself, okay? I'm coming for you. We're out of time. Carl, brilliant, mate. Right. Thank you so much. We'll get you back.
Thanks again, 100%. Guys. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
This has been Vancouver Whitecaps. Three questions. We have Montreal up right now. We have TFC up right now as well. And then on Thursday, we're taping MLS Box to Box. So make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube channel and check out iamfootyprime.com. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
That was great. Good job, mate. Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks a lot. Nice.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.